ABC Radio Australia.
Manasseh Songavari, the man who's dominated Solomon Islands politics for the last 5 years, has announced he will not be putting his hand up for the prime ministership. With just days to go until the first sitting of parliament following the national election, Mr. Songavari says the burden of leadership has become too great for him and his family. Instead, his Our Party and its coalition partners will put forward Jeremiah Manele, the foreign minister in the last government, as their candidate for PM. Here's some of what Mr. Songavari had to say at a press conference late yesterday.
I have been accused of many things, but not in a single one of these accusations have been proven in court, of course. My family have been, and my children included, have been subjected to unprecedented verbal abuse. Have been continuously vilified in the media. Our family home has been razed to the ground, but that did not waver my resolve to continue to serve our people. It has not been easy.
And it wasn't the only surprise yesterday. The Governor-General caught everyone off guard by announcing Parliament will convene this Thursday to conduct the secret ballot to elect the Prime Minister earlier than expected. So joining us with all the details is our Solomon Islands reporter, Chris Narita Almanu-Leong. Good morning, Chrissy.
Good morning, Aggie.
Oh, thank you very much for joining us. I know it's probably been quite interesting time at the moment. Would it be fair to describe that Mr. Songavari's announcement was a shock, or do you think there were indications this was actually coming?
Well, it did take many by a shock, Aggie, because in fact, when Mr. Songavari went into elections, he came out with the majority 15 members from his, our party. They were the outright winners in the elections this month. So people thought that he would be, continuing on with his Our Party. But so it did catch many by shock. Many didn't see it coming. But overnight, it has derived, a lot of discussions on social media I've seen. And we're expecting a lot more of that as the day progresses, because it's just happened overnight. But some are saying that it's a wise decision. Some are saying that this is a response to a public outcry. So there's a lot of discussions on this as well. But in fact, from last night's press conference, like I said, Mr. Songavari had 15 members who won their seats or came back into these elections. He announced that there were only 12 last night who were still part of his party. And if this was true, Aggie, this might be worrying in the days leading up to the Prime Minister's election day on Thursday as well.
Yeah, and I know that he has actually referenced, Mr. Songavari has referenced media vilification. Was he actually talking about the article that had come out, in the lead up to the election by the OCCRP, which is the Organised Crime and Corruption Reporting Project? Because we all know that it outlined his family's extensive real estate interests. So do you think that is part of why he has decided to stand down?
Well, I think Mr. Songavari, during his tenure as the Prime Minister, he held, full term from 2019 till very recent. But Mr. Songavari did not have the best relationship with media. He was often criticizing media on the floor of Parliament, and so his relationship with media wasn't the best, you would say. And so this report, it came out, a week before the elections, but even before that, Mr. Songavari had been talking about his family, or media, like he said, but I wouldn't say it was from the article itself, but it was through his experience with the media, and that was always something that he was always making reference to during his term as Prime Minister. But of course, with that itself, the report that came out, they also said, well, his wife had came out to say that they did not consult them or ask them for any, of their reply. And just very recently, in an interview with local media here, he also said that they would be potentially taking legal actions against this article that you just mentioned, because it has their family have suffered repercussions from this as well.
Chrissy, as we get through this, most people probably who don't follow Solomon politics closely, the mention of a potential new prime minister would be Jeremiah Manele. What did Mr. Songavare have to say about his qualifications for the top job? But because apart from him, are there any other front runners for the top job?
Well, yes, Mrs. Songavare, he said that Honourable Jeremiah Manele, he is no stranger to politics in Solomon Islands. He's been a career public servant that has risen up through the ranks of being a permanent secretary. And then he once was the secretary to the prime minister before being elected into power. But he also did his last position was as the Minister for Foreign Affairs in the DCGA government that was led by Songavare. And Songavare said that he was groomed, or he is groomed, for this position. In fact, Aggie, if Mr. Manele is successful to be the new prime minister for the country, he would become the first from Isabel province, which is one of the provinces here in the 9 provinces that makes up Solomon Islands.
Well, Chrissy, we will keep our eyes and ears on what happens this Thursday. I know you will update us when that happens, but we thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Tomas, Aggie.
No worries. That is our Solomon Islands reporter, Chris Narita Almanuleong, talking to us from Honiara. And of course, another close observer of Solomon Island politics is Dr. Terence Wood from the Australian National University. He's just written an article for the Dev Policy blog called Hotel Time, The Murky World of Selecting Solomon Islands Prime Ministers. And he joins us this morning. With that, I say good morning.
Morena.
Yeah, thank you very much, Dr. Terence, for joining us this morning. I mean, wow. First up, what do you make of Manasseh Songavare's withdrawal from the prime ministerial race?
Yeah, so one assumes it's a compromise to someone who was going to be crucial for the Our Party pulling together a winning coalition of 26 MPs. We assume Songavare was unacceptable, and so he stood aside for Jeremiah Manele.
Well, Dr. Wood, you've actually mentioned in your article that several other parties are united in their shared dislike of Songavare. Could this have been a factor in his withdrawal?
Well, maybe, although I imagine that those other parties will still stand together as rivals to Songavare, to the Our Party. I guess that's not guaranteed, though. I mean, perhaps if they could pull off the United Party or something, that would give Our and their allies the numbers to get 26 MPs. I'm not sure that will be the group. We're looking somewhere else for someone who just can't bear the thought of Songavare being prime minister again.
Yeah, interesting.
Unless, of course, it's an elaborate ruse on Songavare's behalf, although I doubt that's the case.
Mm-mm. Well, the Governor-General has ordered Parliament to convene for this Thursday to elect a new PM. Again, that's pretty earlier than expected. What impact could that have on the horse trading, or even, hotel jumping parties are engaged in to form a ruling coalition?
Oddly enough, it'll make it even more feverish now. I mean, both sides have got a deadline, and there's still independent MPs out there. There are still wavering MPs out there. And so the sort of key power brokers on both sides will be redoubling their efforts to try and pull together that coalition to win over those wavering MPs, or to pluck MPs away from the opposing coalition.
Yeah, do you see the return even of a former Prime Minister, good old GDL, or Gordon Darcy Lilo, as potentially being a big factor? And if so, why is that?
Well, Gordon Darcy Lilo is a master power broker. He's also powered by a lot of his own money. So one would assume that he is playing an influential role in these negotiations. The fact that no one's talking about him and that he himself has been remarkably quiet either means that he's been sidelined, or more probably that he is going to be a linchpin in whichever coalition becomes the new government, or he's angling to be a linchpin. That would be my thought.
I do want to ask Dr. Wood your thoughts, though, because he has referenced, and I did ask this last question to our reporter back in our souls, about him feeling like he's been vilified by the media, especially when, you know, concerns around the properties that he owns. Would that have been a big concern of his in I suppose, the defining factor of him saying, I think I'm going to step down, because, you know, there's been a bit of an effect on his family too?
I guess that's always a possibility, although then again, I mean, major political figures in Solomon Islands are often vilified by the media. Major political figures in Solomon Islands often own multiple properties in Honiara too. So unless it speaks to sort of Sogavare's paranoid streak, he's not alone in, you know, having been through these types of processes. So I think it's more likely to be a strategic move. Obviously, I can't see in this ahead, but that's my guess.
Yeah. You also end by writing that politics of this sort, the whole horse trading to form coalitions, it's not really conducive to a well government state. What do you actually mean there?
Well, I mean, for a start, you'd like to think that a well-governed state, to some degree, you know, reflected the will of the people. And certainly there's often a lot of frustration, including even rioting, in Honiara after prime ministers are announced, because quite often those MPs who are ultimately announced as prime ministers aren't popular with the public in general, or certainly with the public in Honiara. And so you'd think it'd be healthier for politics of the prime minister who was ultimately selected to lead the country actually had some kind of popular mandate. Whereas right now, they only become prime minister simply because they've got money on their side and they're an expert at manoeuvring through this period of hotel politics. And also, I guess, the fact that it is such an opaque period, which is fueled by money, means that it's not necessarily the most able-bodied leader who emerges on top, as opposed to the sort of person who's best at scheming and the person who's got the most money on their side. And we know that those types of politicians never govern states well. So,
yeah, could we not have just waited? Do you think he could have just waited until Thursday to see what the outcome would have been? Or the other question would be, is it just time for change?
I will keep my personal opinions to myself, but I think a lot of Solomon Islanders would like to see a change, and not just like to see the country rid of Sogavare, but like to see a different type of politician in power. And then could Sogavare have just waited till Thursday? Well, I assume that this announcement was all about winning over wavering MPs or shoring up his coalition. And as I said earlier, convincing MPs who, for whatever reason, don't feel like they could work in a government led by Sogavare.